How do you do? What does it mean to be a man? Fathers exhort their young sons who struggle to understand the admonition, be a man. Growing up, the youth in this story followed the only example he knew, his father. But theirs was a love-hate relationship, adding to the turmoil and confusion. He didn't learn the truth of what it is to be a man until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing light to a darkening world, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced before a live audience by Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. Darkness is a dread to the homeless. Where to sleep, where to be safe. In Chicago, they are drawn to the old lighthouse, a refuge since 1877. Pacific Garden Mission today is a place where people in distress find shelter, food, clean clothing, and medical and dental care, and all free thanks to friends whose financial gifts keep the doors open day and night. Hundreds of men, women, and children receive more than material help. They receive the truth that sets them free. And those who choose to follow the light of the world never again need to dread the darkness. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2702 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Oh, stop it! Stop it, you're hurting me!
Oh, mean what I say!
Dad's drunk again and beating on Mom! We gotta stop him!
Don't! You're hurting me!
Stop it, Daddy! Stop it!
Don't hurt Mama! Stop it, Daddy!
Go on back to bed, you kids, or I'll whip you!
Why don't you get out of here and leave me alone?
I'll do just that.
Oh, look at you, Mama. Your dress is all ripped.
I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I hate him. Why do you put up with him, Mama?
He wasn't always this way, Junior.
He's been like this as long as I remember.
When we were first married, he was always so good to me. His older brother beat his wife when he was a young boy, and your daddy always said he'd never do that, but now look what he's done. It's the drinking, Junior.
I wish he never come back.
Some would say that a man who works hard, drinks hard, and fights hard is a man's man. And that was the pattern the young boy in our story saw repeated in his family. His grandfather drank hard and died of a heart attack at age 64. His father was traveling the same road, but the pattern was broken with the man in this story, and this is how it happened. The true story of Al Pittman right now on Unshackled.
When my dad joined the Army during the Korean War, it was the best deal for an African American at that time in the South. He stayed in and made a career of the Army, so I was a military brat. The oldest son, I was named after my dad, so the family called me Junior. I have a sister 4 years older. Mom and Dad liked to party, and it was nothing to wake up on Saturday morning and find ashtrays overflowing and beer cans lying around with empty whiskey bottles. My two younger brothers and I would make the most of it in a game we called Man.
I'm the man here. Give me another beer.
Nice and cold.
It was a cigarette butt in the bottom of that one. What kind of joker are you anyway?
Hey, it's my turn to be the man.
Not yet. First, I'm gonna have a cigarette.
Man, I ain't never getting married. Have to kiss some girl?
Yeah, my wife, she spent all my money. I'll knock her out.
Look, there's some booze left in this bottle.
Give it to me.
No.
I said give it to me. I'm the man.
Mom was the one who taught me to pray and have respect for God, even though she drank and partied with Dad and their friends. They'd been taken to church as children, so Mom took us to church now and then, but I only remember a couple of times when Dad went with us.
Well, how was the seance?
Alfred, stop that. What would your mother say if she heard you?
Yeah, if the shoe fits, wear it. I've seen those women at church acting like they're in a trance.
Well, it's different than the church we attended, but I know that we should take our children to church like our parents took us.
You should have seen this woman today, Daddy, jumping around.
You kids should not be doing that. Alfred, you've got the kids making fun of the people at the church.
Well, you know that they repent on Sunday for what they did on Saturday and does again on Monday.
It wouldn't hurt you to go to church and repent a little.
Now, I'm no hypocrite, Corrine. I'll be a real saint or a total sinner. You don't mess with God. I did learn that from going to church.
The domestic violence continued off and on over the years. Dad never abused us kids, only Mom. He was a combat engineer, guard a lot, adding to the stress. He loved his country and was proud of being in the Army, and I loved him for that. On the other hand, I hated him for the physical abuse toward Mom. When I was 13, we moved to our grandmother's home. Dad was stationed in South Korea, then did a tour in Vietnam. What a shock to go from a small town in Colorado to the streets of New Jersey in 1969.
Come on, it's Black and Hispanic Day. Come on, join the riot.
No, I'm getting out of here.
Junior, what are you doing back home?
We couldn't get to school, Grandma, because of the riot.
Not again.
Yeah. They say it's Black and Hispanic Day. They won't let the white kids come out. They're breaking windows and everything.
What started it this time?
They say a police officer attacked a Hispanic student. Is it always like this here?
Too often.
Looks like a war movie down there. Bombed out buildings, guys passed out in the alleys. They tried to get me and Charles to go along, but we came home.
Good for you, Junior. That's the devil's work.
Grandma, do you ever dream about the devil?
Not if I can help it.
I dreamed the devil was chasing me. He was half man, half animal, and I could hear the footsteps coming, and he broke down the door, and Daddy was fighting him.
And then what happened?
They knocked over a lamp, and the lights went out, so I don't know who won because I woke up. I sure was scared.
I had that dream often as a teenager, and the reality was being played out in my life as I learned to steal, standing on the streets with gangs around. We stole from the corner store and sometimes broke into the local church. I learned later that my parents were really separated for a year because of the problems in their marriage. But we moved to Germany where my father was stationed, and that probably kept me from worse trouble. I started high school there, and wanting to fit in, I played sports and learned to smoke and drink just like my dad. I was looking for ways to validate my manhood.
What's this I hear about you being suspended from school?
I got into a fight with some guy.
I warned you boys not to get in trouble at school. They could send us all back to the States if you mess up.
I couldn't help it, Dad. He pushed Mike. What would you do if some guy bullied your brother?
If you're gonna hit somebody, wait till you get off the school grounds. Then you hit the guy and you knock him out.
I couldn't wait. All the kids were standing around telling me to hit him. I didn't want to look like a coward afraid to stand up for my brother.
You didn't handle it right, Junior. Now I have to go to school and straighten this out.
Sure enough, Dad came to school. But to my surprise, he stood up for me. He wanted to see the boy I hit to see who was bigger. It turned out the other kid was much bigger. So I learned to fight. Another rite of passage into manhood, or so I thought. My friends were Americans from many backgrounds and races, and we had a tight bond with each other. We usually included drugs and alcohol in our gatherings.
Hey, Pitt, name your poison.
For the game Friday night?
Yeah, I'm buying the booze and dope. Put your order in now.
Give me some hats.
Okay, you got it. Have the money for me tomorrow. And don't forget the girly magazines.
Hey, don't worry, we got plenty of them. Man, I can't believe how easy it is to buy beer over here.
Oh, yeah. They always serve us.
Our school was in Nuremberg, 60 miles from where we lived, so we traveled by bus. One day, the bus didn't come for our baseball team, and we were stranded in Nuremberg, which we thought was cool since we all carried booze with us. 16 unrestrained teenagers. Some slept in restrooms, some slept in parks. 6 of us slept on the floor of a friend's house. The next morning, we ate at a cafeteria, and we were walking down the street about noon.
Say, I still got some booze left.
I have 2 bottles of Ripple in my overcoat.
I guess we better get on home.
No hurry, man. It's Saturday.
Hey, Pitt. Get your old man.
Hey, boy. Get in this car.
What
are you doing here?
The bus didn't come last night. We were stranded.
You don't call nobody nothing.
We did too. One of the guys called the youth director and told him we were okay and we'd come home today.
Nobody called me. Now, how do I know if you're alive or dead? Don't you ever do that to your mother again. Now, get out of this car. I want you walking in that house at 3 o'clock, and you better not be 1 minute late.
It's 60 miles, Dad.
I know that. I don't care how you get there. Don't you ever forget, no one owes you anything. I don't care if you walk, hitchhike, or flap your arms, but you better be walking in that house at 3 o'clock. Now get moving.
Hey, Pip, did he find your ripple?
Man, I was worried the bottles would fall out of my pocket.
Well, what's up?
I gotta get home fast. You don't mess with Sergeant Pittman.
We caught a train and I walked in the door at 3 o'clock. Part of me resenting his intrusion, part of me grateful that he came to look for us. The only parent who did. My dad taught me many valuable lessons for life. That success must be sought, it doesn't look for you. And lessons on personal respect, integrity, and national pride. Although I learned to bury my feelings, the love-hate relationship with Dad was coming to a head as I grew older and he continued to abuse Mom. Sometimes the fighting woke us up in the early hours of the morning in spite of our schedules for the next day.
Oh, man. Man, I got a game tomorrow morning. Why can't they shut up? I just want this to end. Why didn't he die in Vietnam?
I'll shoot you, woman!
Put down that knife, Al!
Stop!
I'll kill him! I swear I'm gonna kill him!
Al's struggle to be a man would soon enter a new phase that we'll hear about in just a moment. From the confident intellectual to the impressionable child, everyone enjoys our comic books. Unshackled has published 4 comic books based on true stories dramatized on radio, and we'd like to offer you any one of them free. Simply write and ask. If you've already received one of these gift copies, ask for a different one. Each one will enrich your understanding of God's love and grace, and when you've read it, you can pass it along to someone else, someone struggling with a problem similar to that exemplified in the booklet. What an easy way to evangelize. Jack Martin's story is that of a lonely alcoholic saved by God's grace. John Sanders is that of one destroyed by drugs and crime until God changed his life. Donna Disser left drugs and alcohol behind when Jesus came into her life. And Timothy Abraham had to fight for his life when he left Islam to follow Christ. Each one is a story of triumph, true to the original broadcast, but told with illustrations. So write for your free copy of one of these Unshackled comic booklets. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And however you contact us, please include your address.
Mom grabbed a baseball bat that night and cracked Dad in the ribs, ending the crisis. We all laughed about it later. One night, a bunch of us guys invited ourselves up to an officer's apartment where one of the girls was babysitting. We were drinking the guy's liquor and having a party when another girl arrived, breathless and frantic, saying a stranger tried to molest her. It was time to be a man.
Let's go get him.
What if he's packing heat?
We got him outnumbered.
We need weapons.
There's got to be some knives here in the kitchen. Here they are.
You found a mother load.
Grab one, everybody, and let's go. No sign of the guy. Must have seen us coming and took off.
Or else he's hiding in the bushes.
Hey, here come 2 guys with flashlights.
Oh, there's them bees.
Ditch the knives.
Oh, man. Hold it. What are you guys doing?
Oh, we're just hanging out, you know.
Yeah, well, up against the wall, all of you. Spread eagle. Spread eagle.
Hey, come on.
And don't move.
Come on, man. We ain't doing nothing wrong.
Shut up. Face forward.
A G.I. was stabbed tonight, and one of you may have done it.
No way, man. We just came from a party.
Keep an eye on him, Andy, while I look around. Knives. They were carrying knives. You guys are going to jail.
We ain't done nothing.
Hey, that's right, man.
I told you not to move. Don't turn around, any of you.
My brothers came by heading for the youth center, saw me being arrested, and ran home to tell Mom. The MPs handcuffed us, put us in the back of the Jeeps, and took us to the MP station where they called our parents. Before long, my dad showed up.
Boy, what are you doing here?
We were looking out for some guy that tried to molest one of our girls, that's all. MPs had no call to arrest us.
They were carrying knives.
We didn't know if the guy was armed or not.
These are just kids. High school students.
But they're 6 feet tall and some of them have beards. They look like GIs to us.
They kicked Juggler, Dad, just because he turned his head.
You had no right to kick this guy. Don't you have baton?
Yes, sir.
I was an MP back in the 50s. I know procedure, and you don't kick a kid around like that.
Well, Sergeant Pittman, we were on edge because of the stabbing, sir.
You let these kids go home to their parents. They're not criminals.
Ultimately, they let us go. Once again, my dad was the only father that came and stood up for us. He wasn't perfect, but he was there for me. Like him, I was being swept into a pattern of drinking and fighting, the things of the world. Church was long since forgotten. We attended chapel only once in Germany. We returned to the States late in my junior year, back to Colorado, where I didn't fit in, where I had few friends. I spent a lot of time in my room drawing, playing bass guitar, and reflecting on life. One night, my parents came home and got into a big argument, as usual. Dad pushed Mom against the wall, and I reacted by shoving him away.
Get your hands off my mother! You leave her alone!
He came at me like a crazy man, and I was fighting for my life. I was a limber 17-year-old, and he was half-tanked, so I slipped out of his grip and hit him in the face. There's nothing more degrading than hitting your parent. I felt the stubble on his face like sandpaper under my fist. But he was a hardened guy and he kept coming. I backed up, hitting him, but he kept coming. I hit him again, knocked him off balance, and he fell back into a chair. He sat there stunned. Then he tossed some clothes in a bag, threw it in the car, and peeled out of the driveway without ever closing the door. And I thought, that's it. Finally, it's over. But 2 hours later, he came back. And I was scared because maybe he came back for his gun. Maybe he would kill me.
Son, I'm proud of you.
Want some ice?
Sure.
So you got into it with Dad, huh? I figured it was just a matter of time.
I hated doing that, Irma. I just couldn't watch him beating Mom anymore.
Well, that's funny, Junior. When you were just a little runt, maybe 4 years old, Dad was beating Mom and you started jumping up and down on the bed yelling, "Beat her, Daddy! Beat her!"
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. So I beat up on you for yelling something so stupid.
It's a terrible thing to hit your father. He got over it. But I'm not sure I have.
Our family has always been a bit nuts, yelling and screaming, calling the police, and then laughing and joking about it later.
I don't want to end up like him.
He's not all bad, Junior.
Yeah, I know. But he taught me self-sufficiency. I'll give him that. He made us realize we're equal to everyone, but we have to work to achieve success.
Yeah. He always said, if you want anything, get it for yourself. What else is bothering you?
Oh, I got cut from the basketball team. Can you believe that? I was a star in Germany.
Well, there's more to life than basketball.
I've been wondering, is there more to life than living until you're 80 and then 100 years later they pave a highway over your grave?
There is more, Junior.
Yeah? Well, introduce me to your women friends, Irma. I need to party.
I don't party anymore, but I'll take you to church with me.
Oh, no way.
Come on. You'll like it.
In the end, I went to church with her and marveled at the peace and joy on her face as she worshiped, raising her hands. Bizarre, I thought. Even more strange was learning that she and her husband gave 10% of their income to the Lord. What was the attraction? I kept going to church with her, and one night they showed a film about the end times. Afterward, the pastor spoke briefly.
Jesus is coming again, my friend. And this time he is coming for his own. The first time he came as the Lamb of God who sacrificed himself for our sins. Have you received him as your Savior and Lord? Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Yes. Are you ready for Christ's return? The Bible says every eye shall see him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. That is, unless you're one of his own. Before he went to the cross, he said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." My friend, when Jesus comes, don't be left behind. Heaven holds unbelievable joy. Do not miss heaven.
Amen.
God spoke to my heart that night, saying, "Is there anything here worth missing heaven for? Is there anything here worth staying behind for and missing heaven?" And I knew there was nothing. So I prayed the sinner's prayer, asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. My life was changed forever. I began to share my faith, though I had no tact at first, especially with my dad. "Dad, you're going to hell."
"Listen to you, a preacher now."
"Jesus is coming back, and if you're not saved, you're going to hell."
"Now, I suppose you're not."
"No, I'm not. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I confess that I'm a sinner and prayed. I'm saved, Dad. I'm on my way to heaven."
"I was raised in the church, boy, and my father sang in church, so I know more about it than you do. You're saved by your beliefs."
"You're saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ. And being saved is the best thing that ever happened to me."
"Yeah, well, keep it to yourself, boy. I don't want any preaching in my house."
I was so excited about Jesus that I went to bed that night praying. I dreamed about the devil's hoofsteps coming to get me, but that was the last night I had that dream. God delivered me from the fear of the devil.
"Hello?"
"Hey, sis. I want to go to church with you again on Sunday."
"That's wonderful, Junior. I'm so glad you're excited about the Lord."
"Am I ever? I'm going to give up smoking and drinking."
"Oh, praise God."
"I tried to get Dad to go with us, but he's not interested."
Just pray for him, Junior."
"Man, I wish everybody felt this way about the Lord. Woof, I can't believe how good I feel."
"Hey, listen. I heard the youth minister at church is trying to put together a Christian band, and he's looking for a bass player."
"Yeah?
You interested?"
"Oh, yeah."
"All right, I'll tell him about you."
Right away, I felt called to the ministry. After the youth meetings, I'd get up behind the pulpit to envision preaching the word, and I'd be the last one there. They had to tell me to go home. One night, I saw the most beautiful girl and asked the youth minister who she was. She was his sister. So that's how I met Norma, my wife. We married the same year I entered Bible college at age 19. God gave us a daughter by adoption, and then many years later, two sons were born to us. I was serving God as music minister of a church in Albuquerque when my father died of a heart attack. Later, I went to see my father's mother in Florida.
"He died just like his daddy at the age of 64.
"It was so sudden, Grandma. Wish I'd been there. I wasn't there when the lights went out, so I don't know who won."
"What do you mean?"
"I used to have this dream as a teenager that Daddy was fighting the devil. And they knocked over a lamp, and the lights went out. So I never knew who won."
"Well, that's in God's hands now, Junior. You just trust in the Lord."
"I do, Grandma."
"When I was almost 90, I told the Lord I was ready to go home to heaven. And I couldn't understand why he didn't take me. Then he made me realize that he was leaving me here to pray. Now I'm almost 100 and I'm still praying."
"You're a real blessing, Grandma. Your prayers have helped me through some very challenging periods in my life."
"I always pray for you, Junior. And I prayed for your daddy all my life."
After my salvation, when I gave up smoking and drinking, pornography and women, I wondered if I was becoming less of a man. After all, that was the example all around me. Then one day, I read the words another father spoke to his son, saying, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." In 1 Kings chapter 2, God was describing through King David what it meant to be a man. I had my answer and God's peace.
Al Pittman now pastors a Bible-centered church in Colorado Springs. Listening friend, whatever your struggle, Jesus came to set you free. He said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." To receive his gift of love and grace, pray with us right now. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner unable to save myself. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead to give me life everlasting. Thank you for your forgiveness. Come into my heart and life, Lord Jesus, and help me to live for you. We'd love to hear from you, to know that you prayed and that you are now a child of God. So just write and we'll send you some helpful literature. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please visit our website at www.unshackled.org. This is program number 2702. Heard in the true story of Al Pittman were Michael Myers, Alan Edge, Vicki Myers, Sarah Lynn Crittenden, Alma Washington, Ryan Priester, Guy Burrill, and Brad Armacost. Original music Don Badorf, sound Nick Aloisio, engineer Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write and tell us you listen. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. Area 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.